Hey, good morning. What's going on? This is Brian Jump. Welcome to the SAI PDR podcast. Right before 7 a.m., 6:59 on the Schnauzer, Wednesday, May 5th. We are fast approaching freaking summer, guys. I don't know, man. This spring sprung, didn't it? It's been freaking speedy. Speedy. Yesterday, great day here. Recapping, we had a Dodge, I believe a Charger. And a real cool cat dropped it off. We did a very complex dent in the quarter panel. And then we also did, or doing his bumper, we did a Volvo SC40, I think it is, or T60. I can't keep up with all their, it's the something 60. It's their their SUV, I don't even know. I can't keep up with the models on the Volvos. Just not that many of them out there, but they're nice, very clean interiors. Would I want one? No. So too many reasons. Aston Martin Vanquish, or Vantage, my bad. That came yesterday, a very cool car. We just started work on the X1 that was just approved by Geico. That's a $3,000 PDR. We'll keep you posted on that one. Stay tuned in Instagram, that's gonna be another good one. What else? Bunch of estimates yesterday, some cool cars coming in. We had to pull the door off the Aston, and just like what happened with an Audi, your typical freaking luxury cars, if they have airbags in the doors, they trip an airbag light, and you gotta freaking flash it. You gotta throw the OBD2 on it and rescan it. So we gotta do that, unfortunately. That it's just part of the business, man. If you're gonna pull a door off. And trust me, if you saw this dent, there was no other option. None. If you're going to do the dent, you got to pull the door on that thing. That's by far the worst body line I've ever seen on a car. Absolutely ridiculous. And of course, it's aluminum. But anywho, today it's kind of a cool podcast episode. At least I think so. Self-proclaimed, of course. I'm a little biased, I must say. Hey, some honestly, I'm like, hey, that wasn't that good. You know, I'm definitely my worst critic. If it feels flat, if I just don't have the energy, I didn't get enough sleep, the wife was being a PITA, whatever, you know. I mean, sometimes I'm not always on my A game, and I apologize for that. I do my best. I come here, I try to show up, throw some vibe, some energy, some aura, you know, to try to kickstart whoever's day and make us all, try to help us all level up, get better. Sorry, I used the level up. That was one of those cliche terms I talked about yesterday. But anyway, today we're going to talk about the seven-figure exit. Not the four-figure exit in Mexico, not the five or six. You know, some people could probably get pretty excited with a six-figure exit, and there's no shame in that. But I think most of us agree, if you're going to try to have something you can maybe live on for a while, a seven-figure, aka millions, is probably the way to go, right? So, and I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's easy if you plan for it. So it's almost like a story written backwards, right? If you start with the end, and then you've got the plot, and then you start working backwards through the story, you'll figure out, okay, hey, there's the end point. I've got to have these. Here's my grocery list. If I can tick all these boxes, if I can check off the celery, the milk, the eggs, you know, the booze, whatever, I stand a good chance that I'll be able to turn this thing for some money and then step aside or work part-time or travel or do, you know, play your banjo in the South in shitty honky-tonk bars. Whatever the hell you want to do, that's up to you, man. You know, if you want to raise goats in the Andes or, I don't know, what's your dream? I mean, everybody... That, you know, that's the beauty of life, right? I mean, you're here one go around and make it worthwhile. Make it, you know, live a life worth living, they say, right? So on that note, I'm taking it from me. I'm in my 50s, man. Time flies. You know, my youngest is about ready to graduate high school. So it's, I'm telling you, man, it will, your parents tell you and your elders, aka me, the time flies, it does, man. So we can always make money, we can't make time. So take advantage of that time. Every day, it's precious. Tomorrow's not given, is it? So anyway, all right, I'm going to stop preaching the time sermon. Let's get back to the dent sermon. Hey, specifically seven-figure exit. So what's the number one thing on that grocery list? Okay, working backwards, if you were going to buy a business, what are you looking for? Of course, money. This damn thing better make some money. It better have some profits. And it better have some value. If it's something I could copy or you could copy, why would you buy it? Okay, so it's got to be something that's kind of special, you know, proprietary. If it has some systems or technology or whatever in it, I mean, specifically we're talking about paintless dent repair, so it's probably not going to have a ton of technology. Yeah, it could have some. You could have a system in play that either from a technical standpoint, your technicians and or, you know, your guys, your staff, whatever, are gonna have big dents down, or you've got a pipeline through to insurance, or anything that's gonna drive business, and you have a marketing program in play. I mean, that's strong. That's a strong call out. You know, hey, we have two locations, and each location does $40,000 a month. Okay, gross. What do they net? They net 20. Okay, so you net 40 between the two, or 30, or 20, whatever. Okay, if you do what is it, EBITA, earnings before interest and tax. I don't know what the A stands for. You if you were at $20,000, I think it might be between 10 and 15 multiple. So that's a 200 to, what is that? 200 to 400 K valued business if you're $20,000 a month, okay? And maybe more, depending upon, maybe you could go 20 on that one, okay? Maybe it's a $400,000, you know, worth business. And then of course, if it's $50,000 a month, guess what? You probably have a $1 million business, you know, depending upon, you know, the proprietary and all the systems in play. Let's just say this, and I'm trying to get a little more granular here, and then we'll step back away from the specifics and go more general. Specific to PDR, right? Because this isn't a banana growing business. This, you know, this is not a prostitution ring. This is PDR. So when you're gonna buy this business, I mean, are they gonna get your technicians? Are your technicians gonna stay around? Are you the only tech? If you're the only tech, where's the value? Because you're trying to exit. You know, so hopefully you got staff that are going to hang around and you're going to give them a little bonus, and the new owner's going to acquire, he's still going to hang on to your boys or your boys and gals or whatever. So that's huge. You know, you have to have good staff. Hopefully the staff are going to stick around. Hopefully they get a little parachute, you know, they get a little bit of money if and when this thing sells. So, I mean, PDR is a service. It's a skilled service. Your people are pretty much the cornerstone. You know, if you are not selling, if your people aren't going with it, you damn well better have something else of strong value. Because most people that buy it are not going to be PDR techs. No, it could be. It could be. We'll get into who could potentially buy your business. But if you have the staff, I would say that's probably the number one thing aside from profits. You know, and I would say if you're trying to make a $1 million business, you better be netting out at least $50,000 a month. Which, to some of you, that probably sounds like a lot. To some of you, that sounds like, oh, that's a piece of cake. I do that, right? I've done that for 10 or 20 years now. Okay, Hail guys might be saying, yeah, I do that. Sure you do, but do you do it every month? Probably not, right? So it's kind of tough to sell a Hail business, but a retail or a wholesale business. Then let's get into that. Okay, so wholesale, if you have a route and you're getting ready to step away, you're 55, 60 years old, whatever, and you're like, man, my bones are starting to hurt. I need to get away from this rat race, okay? You have to be sure, you have to know that if you hand the keys over to a new technician who's gonna be buying your route, and let's say you bill out 15, 20 grand a month, are your clients gonna stick around once you transition? And you know, for the most part, yeah, there might be some attrition, and maybe during the sales process, you stick around for 6 months to a year and make sure the transition happens. That's the best way to do it, isn't it? Because then you can introduce Steve to Bob and Sally and Jimmy and Bartholomew, and everybody knows this is the new cat, and they're good, they're professional. Hell, maybe they like you more, maybe they like them more than you. Hopefully they do, right? So you can walk away and nobody misses you. And you're not butthurt because your bank account's flush at this point. People do sell wholesale routes, but it's dicey. It'd be easier to turn a retail operation. Okay, Dent Wizard's done that. Dent Wizard sold both wholesale and retail, both at the franchise level and the corporate level. It does happen. There is value there. You can look to their sales. And like I said, you just have to think about where's the value. Yeah, they've got brand identity and everything, but not really. In the wholesale industry, they do. But then even now, they're diluted. It's not Dent Wizard and the rest of us. It's all of us. Okay, they're just, oh yeah, it's Dent Wizard and Dent Devils and Dent Doctor and Dent. Doesn't really matter, does it? There's not really one clear winner, is there? So that's good. That presents a lot of opportunity for the rest of us. So let's go over to retail. Okay, let's say you're doing the $20,000 to $50,000 a month and you've got a couple technicians. And yes, Billy and Bobby and Jimmy are willing to do the transition. And you're going to give them, you know, whatever, a $20,000 bonus to stay on as long as they don't quit for a year. You know, whatever. They get that bonus and maybe you pay them monthly. I don't know. You structure it, right? You structure it smart, though. And even more than that, okay, maybe you've got a pretty strong brand in your communities and people go to you. You're established. You've been there 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. That's hard. You already have referral business coming there because you're established. And yeah, they want to see Jimmy because Jimmy is the guy that's always greeted them. But if Steve's the new guy and it's still, and he's positive and it looks like it's the same service, that's fine. You know, I'm all right. Maybe you don't have the same joke that I used to do with Bobby or whatever. But at the end of the day, same place, same service. I need my car fixed, my wife, my daughter, my blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we'll bring it back here. We're good. So established is important. I'd say minimum of 5 years for retail, right? And then secondly, your marketing. Is your marketing on point? Is it something that you can transfer over to somebody else? Do you have connections with insurance? Are you getting insurance regularly? That not only made you money, but it's going to help make the new guy money. Anything proprietary like that, where you've got a system and a process in place, adds value. It's going to add value to the new owner. And the next question is property or real estate. Do you own your spot? If you have a building and you own it, freaking take out the basketball right now and shoot a three-point shot. Shoot a four-point shot. Because that's one of the best things you can do to solidify, to cement equity and value in your business. It is not easy to do, guys. It's hard enough to go out and buy a building in a decent, you know, city. It's expensive. You know, there's just very, very rare. And then you want to buy a building in a good location. If you're doing retail, you want to have a good location, right? Good luck. Good luck, man. In SoCal, it's millions. That's tough. Tough. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to come back to you. But in the meanwhile, you're going to have a kick-ass freaking mortgage. You know, I mean, Jeff of Peach Cities owns his, and he's got a great location. He knows. He knows he's made in the shade. He's a made man. He's a Dent Mafia guy, man. He's a made man. When he gets ready to step away, hand the keys, to flick them to somebody else. As long as he can get Taylor and one or two of their guys to sign on, Jeff's going to step onto a sailboat and sail off to Hawaii, man. He's looking good. That real estate's one of the best things you could do. Proprietary systems is right up there. Profits, some would say even more important. Something that's hard to copy. Somebody that's going to look at your business and go, there's no fucking way that I'm going to copy this business, open up 2 miles away, and ramp up within a couple of years to anywhere near where Jeff or Brian or you know, anybody, Mike or just whomever. It's not easy. Make it that way. Because if you're established and you've got systems and you've got business and 20 or 30% of your business is referral, who's going to copy that? And that's why they'd want to buy it. Yeah, maybe their business is going to cost them 600 grand, but they already know they're going to make that back in a couple of years, and it's a money machine. All right, what else is important? You have to have clean, verifiable financial records. If you're collecting cash and it's just on a ledger, good freaking luck. And let me step back before that. If you want this to happen, you have to do exactly what I'm talking about here. You have to actually plan for it. You plan your exit instead of waiting for it to happen. Oh yeah, it's just going to happen in 5 years. Hell no, it's not. All the good things in your life, you probably plan for most of them. If not, man, you're serendipitous. Good luck. You need to plan for this. You need to have an execution strategy. So that's why I'm having this podcast. So you're all set and ready to rock and roll, right? The checklist, the grocery list, the eggs, the milk, the booze. So you've got clean, verifiable financial records. They can go right to your credit card deposits, and there's maybe a little bit of cash, whatever, in checks. And here it goes. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. You average $30,000 a month. That's pretty strong. And then consider the transition. How's it going to go? Who's going to do what? Okay, because selling a business is a complex process. Okay? You want to ensure it's going to be a smooth, simple transaction. And how can you ensure that? Well, yeah, I said it's going to be smooth, just believe me. No. How? Offer training. In green writing, you'll be available for how long? What, 60 days, 90, 120? Whatever it takes. I mean, now you're not going to do it for 5 years, but, you know, several months maybe? And then document the process. This is how we're going to do it. Step one, step two, step three. That's it. I mean, but think about it. It's almost like you're hiring somebody to run your business, like a manager. So you have to document everything and show them that. You could even create videos. Okay, written processes. No, they're not going to get to see those videos before they freaking sign on the dotted line. You get the money. But you say, hey, look, I've got videos. Here's a couple snippets. And we're going to cover this, this, and this, and this. It takes away the apprehension of the new buyer, right? It makes it seamless. And invite the buyer to stay with you. Not at the house, not in your bed, unless that's your thing. Invite them to come over to the business, shadow you, okay? Audit, hang out, spend a few days here, okay? Let me show you the work. Let me show you how we do this. Let me show you my interaction with the customers. You can see the money coming through the machine, okay? Now, whom could you sell this business to? And this is where it gets kind of interesting. Everybody's thinking, yeah, I'm just going to put it up for sale on some online marketplace or a broker. And that could happen. But sometimes there's buyers just right in front of your nose. It could be somebody in your family. You know, my uncle, my brother, my cousin, my nephew. Okay, there you go. It could be one of your employees. Structure a financial plan and say, hey, you know what, Johnny? You know this business. You work here. I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to give you a good deal. You got payments. You can just get some financing. And bam, you're good to go. You already know it. I mean, that's probably one of the easiest persons to sell it to, right? You could sell it on the open market. You could also sell it to one of your competitors. Yes. Hey, we've been battling for years, John. I'll tell you what, I got an idea. Own the community now. You can have my business. I was going to sell it for $750, but I'll tell you what, you know my numbers. I'll do it for $650. Blah, 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 whatever, you know? Or you could go public. You could put it on the penny. I know a few dent guys that actually have gone public. And I'm not talking like an IPO on the New York Stock Exchange, you know? But I'm talking about penny stocks. It could happen if you want to go down that route as well and get some money. Which really isn't selling the whole business. It's selling probably a part of it. But anyway, you get my gist. You see where I'm going with this. So guys, let's boil this down. Let's distill it down to some freaking distilled water. So what it entails is planning, taking a look at your business and making sure it has value, making sure it's acquirable, making sure that somebody else could take it on and run it. Because if the business is you, if it's your brand, if you're the face of the business, and without you, it won't exist. If you have a business like it's a personal brand online, that's tough. I mean, yeah, if you kind of segue a little bit, you might be able to kind of still have that happen. But if you make all the content and everything, good luck, man. I thought you were trying to step away. So you need to make it. So yeah, it could be a part of you, but it needs to be more of the corporate entity. And that way, whoever's behind the curtain, you know, the Wizard of Oz, he can pull the levers and everybody's going to be, they're not going to know. You know, Denko, who cares who pulls the levers? As long as Denko's working and customers are getting satisfied day in and day out, it doesn't matter. Who cares who the wizard is? The business is flowing. Everything's flowing. Cash is flowing. Everybody's happy. So plan it. Make it specialized so it's not easy to copy. Because if it's easy to copy, some halfwit's going to come in, look at your business, going to jot down some things on his yellow legal pad, and within 30 to 60 days, you're going to have a new competitor. And there's really no way to block that without, I mean, you're not going to open up your books and show them your marketing plan and everything else. It could still happen. But if you're established and you've already got a good foothold on the community, yeah, you might get some competition. They might take 10% away from you or something, but at the end of the day, you can't operate in fear of that happening. You know, just do what you do well. I mean, if you own your business, if you've got a great location, that's hard to replicate, that alone. And then if you got systems, if you got business coming in, like I said, from insurance, you got online marketing that is just rock solid. I mean, it's tough to beat that. It's tough to beat a physical location. I'll go back to that. If you got a great physical location, it is not easy in a big city to go replicate that. That's probably the number one thing. Spend a lot of time, lock down a spot. If you can buy it, oh my God. It may hurt like getting fisted. That kind of hurt. And I don't know that pain. Luckily, I might divulge to you, but I can imagine. But at the end of the day, if you look at the payday at the end, and I'm talking about payday like financial payday, yes, might be worth taking that painful freaking punch in the face and buying that spot if you're so lucky and enchanted to have found it. Oh man, I'm at the corner of this street and that street, or I'm right off the side of a freeway and people see me, there's 20,000 cars driving by every day. Slam dunk, man. There's that 4-point shot I was talking about. Go get it. Go get it, son. So anywho, that's it. That's the 7-figure exit, pretty much playbook, right? The strategy, how to get it done. Am I getting ready to exit right now, you might be thinking? Not for a while. We probably still got a couple more years. We're trying to add some locations, trying to firm up our systems and processes. But so far, we're doing good stuff. I mean, I've probably got 3 of the 5 boxes ticked. We don't own our real estate. I wish we did. I'm talking about commercial. Residential, yeah. But commercial, no. Would love to. And now's kind of the time. With COVID, their stuff is down a little bit overall. It'd be nice to go pick up like an old restaurant, right? There's a few of those out there right now that didn't quite make it through the game, did they? But man, we are ramping up hard right now. Inflation is running away. If you're going to do something, kid, do it now, because you're going to blink and, you know, oh my gosh, the economy is just, it's going to be insane the next 12 to 24 months. A little adjustment period, then we'll probably settle down. So anyway, that's it, guys. I'm going to rock. I got a BMW with my name on it. It's got a nasty door and some door with some light stuff on it. So I'm going to tackle that. I appreciate your ears, man. Have yourself a fantastic Wednesday, hump day. Get out and hump something. And I will catch you on the next SAI PDR podcast. Have a great one. Talk to you then. Bye-bye for now.